Amen. Let's go and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs once again. We're going to go to Proverbs 27 tonight. Proverbs 27, as we've been going through the book of Proverbs now for a number of weeks, we've learned that wisdom is available. We learned how we should receive correction. And we've learned a couple of different other topics. Tonight, we're going to talk about friendship. We're going to talk about relationships. The title of this evening's message is Iron Sharpeneth Iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. And as we've mentioned, and we'll probably mention it over and over, is that it's very difficult to do it from verse-to-verse perspective. Instead, we do a topical style message probably for each and every time. And there is a lot of different ones, and it will probably at least carry us through the summer. Depends on how long the Lord wants us to look at these different things. But I know a number of you have mentioned how much these messages have encouraged you. Some have even talked about how it opened their eyes to what the Bible said about specific topics. And that's what Proverbs does. Proverbs gives you a lot of wisdom and a lot of practical knowledge that if we apply it to our life, we sometimes change the way we live and change the way we do things. So tonight when we look at this idea of friends and friendship, I want you to consider some important truths. Proverbs 18:24, the Bible says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Some people say, "I don't have a lot of friends." And I understand what they're saying, but what the scripture is saying here, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If you truly want to be a friend and be able to keep your friends, it means that you should be friendly. Don't expect a lot of friends if you're hard to get along with and you're an unfriendly person. And we're going to look at, as throughout the message goes along, the Bible never tells us we have a right to be rude or ugly towards somebody, but I believe there's a difference between being friendly and being a friend. We should always be kind. We should always be courteous. We should always be someone that is treating others with respect and things like that. But there's a difference between being friendly to someone and trying to be that light that God has given us to be to this world versus allowing someone to influence your life. And what a friend is someone who sharpens you, someone who drives you. In my mind, a good friend is someone who will push us to become more like Christ, someone who will influence us to become more like Him. There was a quote I read today. It says, "The most influential people in my life created a desire in me to be more like Christ, not like them." The most influential people in my life created a desire in me to be more like Christ, not like them. And this is our desire, is not to try to convince the world to say, "Hey, I want you to become more like me." I've said it over and over, there is plenty of Brian Pieses in the world. One is plenty and one is enough. I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be like Christ, and I want you to follow after Christ. And I pray that people see Christ in me. That's my desire. That's my goal. These are the things we talk about. It's not to just, "Hey, let's take up 40 minutes on a Wednesday night." No, we're taking this Bible and we're taking this word of God and saying, "Okay, what is the truth about friendship? What does the book of Proverbs say about friendship?" And we should let the people influence us that wants us to be more like Christ instead of being more like them. Because once again, there's plenty of others that God has made you unique. And with that, we're not trying to make disciples of ourselves. We're trying to make disciples of Him. So iron sharpeneth iron. So number of verses in chapter number 27, because of time, we're probably going to stay for the most part in chapter 27. We will allude to other spots in the book of Proverbs, but we don't have time to look at every single verses in the book of Proverbs. It's an interesting thing. It says a person that gives gifts or a person that has a lot of money, they have certain types of friends, but they're not the friends that stick around with you when you stop giving the gifts or when you stop being rich. And it's like the prodigal son. He probably had a lot of people there that were his friends, and he lived it up with that righteous living. But when the money was gone, where was he? He was stuck in the hog pen all by himself. There wasn't anyone there to help him and encourage him. Those are not the type of friends, people that are your friend just because they can get something out of you. We're looking for people that truly, the Bible says, are friends. If you're taking notes, tonight is one of those nights where the outline works out, where every single point has the same letter. So maybe it'll help you remember. The first thing I want you to think about is honest friends. Honest friends. Look what it says in Proverbs 27, verse number 6. Proverbs 27, verse number 6. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And it's there, and they're saying that, you say, what do you mean? A friend, is a friend going to wound us? And the reality is that a friend is someone who will help others, who will be honest with them, someone who will speak to them if they're doing something that is amiss or something that is wrong. They're somebody who is comfortable. A true friend is someone who will not continue to go down a road that's going to hurt yourself. A true friend is not going to be someone that's going to allow you to keep on with a certain behavior that's going to hurt your families. A true friend is not going to be someone who's going to continue to allow you to come down and just keep on that's going to continue to hurt your ministry or your church family. A true friend is someone who will, even though sometimes it may hurt, will speak up. The reality is many times we do not enjoy getting corrected. And we talked about that already. That's why we began in the fact that in the book of Proverbs, hey, the wisdom is there. It's available. It's crying out to us. And that next lesson talked about correction. How are we going to receive correction? Because when we look at these verses, I'm praying that God will work in our hearts that, hey, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And to me, if someone continues to allow you to sit there and continue to act the same way, even though, oh, you're okay, you're fine, you're not being a friend there. You're being more of an enemy. It's someone that is there and say, oh yeah, just keep on acting the way what you're doing, there's nothing wrong with, when you know that there is. And even if you look a little bit later down, one of the H's is a harmful friend. If you look what it says in Proverbs 27:14, you skip down a few verses. It says, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. Someone who's just there and gets loud and just say, oh, you're perfect, you're wonderful, you're great. And they get up early and that's all they ever want to do is just sit there and say, oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? That's going to end up being a curse unto you. And it amazes me that I've learned in the past few years, it's people have no issue with mentioning to you what is wrong and what you're doing wrong, at least to me as a pastor. But they do not want to hear the truth when it comes to certain things. They do not want to understand to sit down and speak the truth because there's wounds that happen. Because sometimes when there is correction that happens, people do not want to see the other side of the issue. They may say and I've been accused of this before. I've been told, hey, that's just you making up an excuse. And I try to tell them, I says, let's talk. This is not an excuse. This is how I see something as a perspective, as a grown man, as a person that reads the Bible and studies the Bible. And I don't like correction just like anyone else. But if I'm going to be wise, I'm going to take correction. I'm going to learn from that correction. And I'm going to understand that correction. But I think we should make decisions based off of facts. I don't think we should try to cover up things. I think things should be made out as facts and there should be truth. And you'd be amazed that people love to bring things up about things they have no knowledge of. And sometimes they'll say something to, hey, this is how I feel. But when you look at it and say, well, what does the Bible say? Or did you ever think about this? And did you ever think about that? They don't want to hear that because it wounds them. And reality is they don't want a friend. They want someone who will agree with them. And I want a friend. This past, a couple of weeks ago, we have a deacon's meeting. Now, certain day of the month, second Thursday in the month, we have a deacon's meeting. And we're going through a book. And in this book, it talked about different things and talked about the qualifications of a deacon. And it's a good book and enjoy the book. And it's something that's there to help the deacons. And hopefully they carry it home to their wives. And something that helps me and understands all those different things. And as we're going through the qualifications of a deacon, one of the deacons, I'm not going to say who because I don't want to try to lift anybody up, but one of them said, you know what, these qualifications, if there's something in these qualifications you do not see me being a part of, I want you guys to tell me. You know what I thought of that? That's a person that wants a friend. They said, if there's something in this group, this list of things that says that I'm not living up to, that's something I want you to mention to me. And you know what, when I thought about that, and as I was studying and listening to this, even though it might hurt sometimes, it's something that sometimes needs to be said. And I was encouraged by that. And I even said to the group of men that was sitting there, you know, I want the same thing. If there is something there that you feel like it's not being done, then okay, listen, I want to hear that. But that's not all. That's not many. That's not everyone. Not everybody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to express what they want. They don't mind wounding someone. They don't mind, but they don't want to hear what the reaction may be. And I'm not picking on anyone, but in the last few years, it's opened up my eyes. It's good for us to reprove and talk to others about our faults and be told our faults by our friends. And if true love in the heart has a zeal and courage enough to show itself dealing plainly with our friends and reproving them for what they say and do amiss, this is really better than secret love. And that's what it's talking about here. It's faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. We think about the kisses of the enemy. We think about Joab's kiss that he kissed someone as he was killing them. We think about Judas's kiss as he was betraying them. And that there are other people that will come up to you and one side and will kiss you and say, oh, you're wonderful, you're great. But it is nothing more than just a friend that you think is a friend, but it's really being deceitful. If we truly are going to be a friend to others, it's not something that we turn around and we just ignore and we let them harm themselves and we let them harm their families. And sometimes people say, well, I don't want to say anything because I want to be a good friend. I value their friendship so much. But what the scripture is saying here, faithful are the wounds of a friend. It's not saying faithful are those that just allow someone to continue on doing something that's going to be harmful to them and hurtful to themselves, and that you just get someone to say, hey, what you're doing is okay, what you're doing is fine. I've gone to people and I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, this is going on. I says, well, you should go talk to them. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And we talk about forbearance and we talk about forgiveness, but we also say, are you helping that individual? Are you helping that person by just allowing them to continue to harm themselves in their relationship with the things that they're doing? And I says, if this thing has truly offended you, you should do things the scriptural way. And we were going through discipleship class last night, and we were going through how a person fits into a church, and where it talks about if there is something that you come between you and a brother, you go to him individually and then you take a few with them. And if it is a church discipline type area, you bring it before the church. And the person was like, wow, that sounds interesting. It sounds new. I says, that's the value of your church family. It's something that you should be able to go to. You love them so much that you don't want conflict. You don't want things not to be resolved. You want something that's there. And yes, sometimes it hurts, but it's what we need. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I am thankful. I'm not always appreciative at the beginning. I'm not. But I am thankful for someone who will come to me and will say to me, hey, what's going on here? Can you help explain this? Or why did you make this decision? Or why? And sometimes as a pastor, I can't always say this is the reason, because sometimes there's private and sometimes you have to trust the pastor. But other times when someone says, hey, why'd you do this? If they will sit down and have a conversation, these are the reasons why I made these decisions. This is why I feel led to make these decisions. These are all the different understanding. But if someone points out to you, hey, maybe you could have done this or should have done this or put a different one, I can become like the fool and just not respond or become stubborn, or I can become like the wise man and learn from it. And that's what I want. The truth is there. The wisdom is crying out. It's available. But if we just ignore it, how do we take the correction? And maybe you're sitting here tonight and saying, hey, I know that there's been times God wanted me to speak to someone and I just didn't know how, and I backed away. Maybe God's convicting your heart about that. Maybe there's other times when you say, hey, you know what? I really never gave a person a chance to truly tell me how they felt because it might hurt when I talk to them. Or we say, I'm just not ready for that. And that's a challenge thing. But when you say, when do you become ready? The most influential people in my life, the people I'm going to allow to influence me, creates a desire in me to be more like Christ, not like them. Where their desire is, hey, I want to hear from them. I want to see that they want to see God be developed in my life. And sometimes the question is, do we truly want a friend? Or do we want what the Bible declares an enemy? Someone who's just going to agree with it and it's not going to help us. You say, well, that's not really an enemy. Well, it's not really a friend either then. Second thing I want you to see, and I think it goes along with the first point, honor friends. The second thing I want you to see is helping friends. Helping friends. Look what it says in verse number 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. A good friend will give trustworthy, hearty counsel. They will speak to you. They will have a conversation with you. And we're not talking about just things that are surface. We're talking about someone that you can actually sit down and have a conversation with, a conversation about things that will help us and encourage us in our life. A sweetness of friendship lies not in a hearty mirth or a hearty laughter, but in a hearty counsel, faithful advice, sincerely given without flattery. And as if you went and you looked at I did a Google search of the word friend, and you go and they talked about in the book of Proverbs, friend or friendship, talked about those that were rich, those that gave gifts, they're not going to have a problem having friends. Those that are rich, they're not going to have a problem having friends. Those that are poor, they're going to struggle a little bit. But really a good friend and a true friend is someone that you can get hearty counsel from, faithful advice, sincerely given without flattery. And it's not looking for a compliment. It's sitting down and having a conversation. Look what it says in verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. It's the idea of how you take iron and you sharpen iron with iron. And it talks about how you can actually help the countenance. It's a helpful countenance. So under helping friends, there's a helping counsel, a hearty counsel in verse number 9. A helpful countenance is talking about you sharpen the countenance of your friend. It's something that can be seen there, that is something that you sharpen one another and you enjoy one another. You make each other better and you sit there and have a conversation. Do you have a friend like that? Well, the Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Are you that type of friend for someone? We had a special meeting this past weekend. I think it went great. It was wonderful. It was different than any other meetings had because of the conference of Friday, Saturday. It was well attended and thankful for everybody who put that 18 hours and 24 hours, however long it was, starting at 6 o'clock and ending at noon on Saturday, you know, whatever hours that was, that 18 hours, that was 16 hours that was there. I think it was worthwhile. Pretty much the majority of people talked about how it being worthwhile. It was encouragement and a blessing to them. One of my favorite parts about having a special meeting is, especially if I know the individual that's coming, is I love the fact that they, when they're here, I can sit down and have a good conversation with them. Doesn't matter if they are older than me, and I enjoy the older than me, so I can actually sit there and learn from their wisdom. Or if they're younger than me, which Brother Paul is a few years younger than I am, it's something that I can sit down and I can have a frank conversation. And on Saturday night, even though he came in Friday night at 5 o'clock and a little bit later than 5 because of traffic, on Saturday night, we sat down here. We sat in the lobby for multiple hours. What were we doing? We were sharpening one another. It was not something that there did not have to be any type of compliment that was given from either one of us, but we talked about modern day topics that were happening in our churches nowadays and what that looks like and looking at scripture. You know, it was iron sharpening iron. And this is something I think that we are missing in our day-to-day society, is that when people can sit down and they can sharpen one another by having conversations about spiritual things. And I'm not just talking about surface, and I'm not talking about, hey, it needs to happen while we're just walking. No, but spending time with someone, sitting down with someone, going across the table and having somebody says, oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about where the churches are today? And what do you think about why people don't want to be discipled today, or why people don't want to be a witness today, or what do you consider a godly biblical standard? And what do you think about the Bible version controversy, or what do you think about? And there's a long list of different things. You know, how's your walk with the Lord? I had a Sunday school teacher. Every time I saw him, well, maybe not every time, but at least once a week, if not twice a week. I'm a 9-year-old boy, and this man used to come up to me and shake my hand, and he used to grip it a little bit hard because he wanted to teach me how to shake a man's hand. And he's like, so how's your walk with the Lord? I'm 9 years old. I'm like, oh, it's going really good. I don't know what he's talking about. But he was developing something in me, saying there is a, he was trying to sharpen me and his limited role. And I was at his house. He would come watch sporting events. He would invest in me. But that's what I think we need to have, is people that will sit down and have conversations. And it's not just a one-sided conversation. It's something that you sharpen one another. It's something that you learn from. It's not just you expressing what you've learned. And once again, I know the 2 ears and 1 mouth, and and you turn around and you should listen twice as much as you talk. I understand all that. I don't even disagree with that. But at the same time, do we sharpen one another? Do we sharpen one another in our life? Wise and profitable discourse sharpens men's wits, and those have ever so much knowledge may by conference add to it. Wise and profitable discourse sharpens man's wits, and those that have ever so much knowledge may by conference, talking to one another, add to it. Remember what the wise man does with corrections. It sharpens them. God's men's graces are sharpened by converse with those that are good, those that love the Lord, those that you want to become like because they want to become like Jesus Christ. Those that are something that you desire, that maybe they don't have the same interests you have. Maybe they don't have the same hobbies that you have or the same situation in life. If I look back on my life in the last 49 years, I can tell you the people that meant most to me over those years are not the people that like the same sports I did or the same sports team. Many of those friends have come and they've gone over the years. But those who took time to sharpen me, those that took time to invest in my life, who cared about me, that had sometimes maybe difficult conversations, I'm not calling them looking for advice or counsel. I'm looking for someone that I can learn from. And even though sometimes the corrections would hurt, but the faithful wounds of a friend. So a bad man's lust and a bad man's passion will sharpen bad people to do more bad things. So we're going to sharpen one another. How are we going to sharpen? What are we going to learn from? And I sit and I watch and I hear people talk, and I'm not probably the best at this. This is something God spoke to my heart as I'm studying. I want to be a good friend. I want to be a friend to us. I want to be a friend to this church. I want to be, as a pastor, I want to be something that where I'm taking the word of God and I'm spending time with people with relationships, trying to build this and sharpen one another, sharpen our church family. And of course we can talk about things that we enjoy and things that we like and things that are going on in our life. People ask me all the time about my son's upcoming wedding, and they ask me about the things I enjoy, and those are all good things. But if we're truly going to sharpen one another, we must be cautious of who we allow to become an influence in our life. And we must be careful who we allow to influence us. And we must remember, is that people that are going to be the most influential people in my life, the people who are going to shape and mold me, or are they trying to make me more like Christ? Because that's what a true friend is. And that's what he's saying here, iron sharpeneth iron. And then it talks about how it's so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And that countenance is sharpened when we are right and when we're encouraged. There is a group of men that I call when I have a question or desire, specifically one that I'll call and say, hey, can you help me? And he takes time. It takes an hour sometimes, a half hour sometimes, whatever. He picks up the phone if he's available. If not, within 24 hours, he calls me back. Does this man have better things to do? I'm sure he does. But he doesn't mind investing in my life. And he's someone, even though he is probably at least 30 years, 20 to 30 years older than I am, he's someone who will take time to help sharpen me. And he'll even ask me questions because he wants to learn what the perspective of a young guy would look like. And I'm like, I'm not young anymore. But he says, your stage of ministry, what you've gone through, what you've experienced, and all those different things, what do you think about this? The world is changing, and the things that we value and the things that we make important, the things that we have put such an emphasis on in the last 20 or 30 years as independent Baptist churches, is it where the emphasis is found in the Bible? That's an interesting question. It doesn't mean that one person has to be right and one person has to be wrong. It doesn't mean we have to lift somebody up. No, not very, very regularly, and not very, very seldomly do I say something that is in a flattering way to them. Because that's not the point of it. It's because I appreciate them. They know that. They know I pray for them. They know that I look to them because of the fact that I called them. There's counsel there. But I thank them for what they did and thank them for what they say. But I need to make sure that I'm being this type of friend. And when I think about it, what is a helping friend? One who gives me helpful counsel, one who helps me with my countenance. So not only do we have honest friends and helpful friends, think about the harmful friends. Think about the harmful friends. Look what it says in verse 14 here. Verse 14, we already kind of mentioned this, and it says, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. Watch out for the man who's praising you more than you should be praised. Watch out for the man who is praising you for more than you should be praised. This is how Absalom, I believe, won the hearts of the people. He would go early in the morning and he would try to steal the hearts of the people away from David. And he would say, if I was king, I would give you a counsel. If I was king, then I could do this and that. What was he doing? He was being loud. He was trying to butter them up. He was trying to steal away their hearts. And we need to be careful that this type of friend can be obnoxious in their behavior. He's not a good friend, but he's a harmful friend. He's someone that sort of like those so-called friends behave so badly. Some so-called friends behave so badly, one doesn't need enemies. And he reminded him of the three friends of Job. Lee Robinson was famous for saying, die to self, die to criticism, die to praise. Live for the Lord. And sometimes our friends that are trying to be helpful, they become harmful friends when they do not tell us the truth. Instead, they tell us what we're doing is okay. And it's hard, it's tough, because you have friends. Sometimes maybe it's a husband or a wife and you want to console them and you want to be on their side. And there is a proper way to do it, and there's a way that should look, but there is faithful are the wounds of a friend. Are you truly being a friend? Not only does it talk about harmful friends being one that is loud and is praised, but also talks about not. And go ahead and take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 22. I told you we're going to allude to a couple spots, not a lot, just because of the fact that we would be here all night if we tried to break down every verse. But there's another warning that's given about here in Proverbs 22, 24. It says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. A short-tempered person is a poor prospect for a friend. The Bible says, make no friendship. Once again, does that mean we should not be friendly to them? No, that doesn't mean that we should not be friendly. It doesn't say anywhere in there says that we can treat people rudely and disrespectfully. But at the same time, a short-tempered person is a poor prospect for a friend. Stay clear of such people. And then it even takes a little step further there when it says, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Do not get involved in any project with a short-tempered man, but also make sure that you're carefully not to get involved in any type of effort with someone that's this personality. Hatred and wrath are fruits of the flesh. This anger and this furious is not the fruit of the Spirit. And it's something that many of us have to work on. It's something many of us, we have to keep in check. It's something that we have to, our flesh desires. This is the flesh wants us to get angry. Our flesh wants to be furious so we can get our way. But no. If the saying that that's not the type of friend you want. You want the type of friend that's bearing the fruit of the Spirit. You don't want the type of friend that's bearing the hatred and the wrath. You don't want the friend that is angry and the friend that is furious. These are not the people that you want influencing you. Because why? Because they're not being Christ-like. We want to let that influence. The people that we want to influence us are the people that we are desiring to make us more like Christ with our actions and make us more like Christ with our lives. And that's what he's saying. Make no friendship with an angry man. Go not with a furious man. So you say, well, Pastor, what if they write? Once again, it says it right there. Be careful. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. These are just little side notes that are found. The main one that's kind of ties together with the message is helpful friends, honest friends, helpful friends, and harmful friends. But there is a couple more things in Proverbs 27 and verse number 10 that we see here. Thy own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. I call this holding friends. Hold on to your friends. Thy own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. If you want friends, you must be loyal to them. If your father has good friends, keep them as your friends too. Good friends are hard to obtain. So when you find a good friend, be a good friend to them so you do not lose them. Be someone that can help influence them to become more like Christ. Over the years, there have been times when, not that I've turned my back on some people, but there are people that I used to look for counsel and people that I used to look for sharpening, but their lives have changed to where they no longer are trying to influence others to become more like Christ. In my mind, they're trying to influence others to become more like the world. So because of that, no longer would I contact them. No longer would I go fellowship with them. And it's not that I'm ugly to them, but they know the different road that they have taken. And they've known as a grow that I'm friendly to them. I talk with them in our conversations or we're trying to sharpen one another. But I'm not going to hold on to that friendship. I'm gonna say, hey, the direction you're taking is a little sketchy to me, and I can see where it could not end very well. So because of that, we're still going to be friendly, but I'm not going to let him influence me in the ministry. But here it's saying here that you should be loyal to your friends and you should be holding to your friends. And I think it talks about honoring someone who was your father's friend. If you have a friend that was your father's friend, that is something that if he was good to your father, meaning that he would be also good to you, and how much you can learn from a father's friend. There's a man in our church who is friends with people, and he introduces to me sometimes. He says, this is one of my dad's old friends. And he's a friend of mine now, too. But he's a friend of my dad's. And for years, and then obviously the friend is 20 years older than the other person. And this person's probably in their 50s or 60s. And you can tell their age, but he honors them. He holds to that friend. He learns from that friend. That friend sharpens that man. And because of that, he holds that friend. Look at a handy friend. A handy friend. Look what it says in verse number 10. It says, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. I always thought about that verse, and I always wondered what it meant. I have a fairly good relationship with my brother. I have an older brother that's 3 years older than me. Stephen had been to our church a number of times when he lived in Virginia Beach and things like that. He's back in Elkton now. I have a younger brother that's mentally handicapped who really enjoys me being around. I have no idea why he enjoys me, but as soon as I show up at the house, he wants to come over and he wants to hang all over me. Sometimes I think he's messing with me. I don't know if he is or not, but I think it's maybe I picked on him a little bit when he was a child, and he remembers that. And so as soon as I come in the door, he wants to have a good time. And now, because Andrew looks like me, he won't leave Andrew alone at times too. So maybe he knows Andrew's mischievous. Who knows? My older brother, and when I read that verse before, I was thinking, your older brother, he's somebody who's close to me. And if you go back and you look at Bible times, you think about Solomon, you think about David's and David's brothers, who was closer to David's brothers, or Jonathan? Jonathan would have been. And you go back and you look at the different people that sharpened them. And because of the fact that there's many times distance between them, if I needed something, I would go to my brother. When I lived in Elkton. Nowadays, my brother lives 5 hours away from me. And so there's a closer neighbor, closer friend. If I had something that was a need or something that I wanted to share, I do speak to my brother probably a few times a week, maybe 3 or 4 times if you count texting. But the person that I am developing my relationship with is those that are nearby or better than a brother that's far away. And so many times I've heard people say, now some people have their families here, and I know on Sunday we had Mother's Day meal, and I know some people didn't stay because they had family that was in the area, and they had their tradition that every single year they go there. And I think that's great and wonderful. But I do know that there's a lot of people that don't have family in our area. And a lot of people that when they would enjoy something like that, sometimes when we didn't have, we had hosted Christmas meals or Thanksgiving meals for people that didn't have anywhere to go for Christmas and Thanksgiving. You'd be surprised how many times they would enjoy that. And a lot of people would come just because they had nowhere else to go. And that became their friend, was the person that was close to them, is because they were near. And I've seen it when it happens when a person dies and their family is from a distance and they come here and I sit there and I get the privilege, and I know it's a privilege to be able to sit with the family and discuss the person who's passed away. And they talk about, well, they loved your church family and did this and they did that and they were thankful for all those things. And you sit there and you listen to them because of the fact that you meant a lot to them because you were close. You responded in ways that they couldn't respond because they were far away. And even though when the funeral comes around and they want to have things done certain ways because they feel like they know them, in your mind sometimes you're thinking, well, I don't think that's the way that they want to do. Of course, you honor the family's wishes if someone else did not leave their wishes. I understand that. But it's the idea of being someone who's close versus someone that's far away. And of course you give that family room because you're not trying to replace their family. But the scripture is teaching us here that it's important to be a friend, because in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far away. That means that they get there quicker. They're there. They're more dependable. They're there. You're not trying to take away their brother. You're not trying to be someone's mother. You're not trying to be someone's father or sister or other things like that. But at the same time, a good neighbor, a friend who is near, is much quicker to help than a relative that's far away, who many times have really not very much interest in you. And especially if you're someone who loves the Lord and they don't love the Lord, you know that friendship is something that you crave and that you desire. God's made us to be people who desires friendship and that needs friendship, that sharpening of one another. And it's not being nitpicky. It's not turning around talking about somebody's temperament and saying, hey, you need to do this. No. It's someone who will try to, the wounds of a friend are faithful. And so tonight, I want to encourage you, when you think about God's word, think about these three things when it comes to friendships. Honest friends, helpful friends, and harmful friends. What are you? Are you an honest friend? Are you a helpful friend? Are you really kind of a harmful friend? We all have our own friends. I understand that. And I understand people have different relationships. You're closer to some people. But the people you allow to influence you should be the people that want to make you most like Christ. Those are the people that you will allow to influence you in your decision-making. Those are the people that you want to allow to sharpen you. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. What type of person are we allowing to sharpen us? Who are we allowing to make us into what we want it to be? We go back to that first verse when it talks about that we looked at first. When it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I've been around people that would be deceitful and trying to get away. They truly weren't my friend. And we can look at that over the years and say, and friends make mistakes. You might grow into friendships. You might leave certain friendships behind. But the people that you let influence you the most are the people that you want to help you become like Christ. Well, those people aren't people I enjoy hanging out with. Life, is it really all about enjoyment? Is that what he's destined us to be? Is that what he desires us to do? Or does he say that he wants us to glorify God? That should be our main goal, our main desire, to glorify God. We have come to this spot in this world where we feel like, hey, I got to get as much enjoyment out of this life. I got to have as much pleasure as I can. But what sharpens you? What changes your countenance? It's the person who sharpens you. Changes the countenance of your friend. So is our life really about us and us getting what we want, us getting us what we desire, us being this, us being that? No, it's about how can I serve God? What does it look like? And like I said, looking back over the years, I can say that there was grown men when I was a teenager that influenced me more for Christ than majority of my friends. I had one or two that loved the Lord. But when I would look to them now, who am I going back to see? I'm going back to learn from them more than I am someone who is my age now. And once again, it's nice to see them. It's nice to understand they have a family. But you also see the way that they live their lives. You know that's not what you want. But you see those men or those women that dedicated their lives to the Lord and who have sharpened you over the years. Those are the people that you allow to influence you. Those are the people you thank. Those are the people that mean the most to you. I'm thankful for all the friends God's given me. Sometimes I wonder how many people I've allowed to be super close in my life and how many times I've actually tried to sharpen others. I want to work on that. I want people to actually sit down and have conversations. Once again, it's not about being right or wrong. And sometimes when you're a pastor, you want to be really careful, because if you say something that someone will take out of context, they'll think, oh, he's turning liberal, or oh, he's going this way. And that's not what I'm looking for. But what I'm looking for is, how can we sharpen one another? How can we be a spiritual friend, spiritual fellowship? So, well, I don't have that. A man that have friends must show himself friendly. Let's engage in that. let's sit down and have conversations with people that are willing to talk to you. Well, I don't really like those people. If you're willing to allow someone to sharpen you, then that's a step. So would you consider yourself an honest friend? And once again, when I say honest friend, there's a way to do that. I've met some people be really ugly when they're saying things, and it's they're discouraging in how they say it. Be honest, but do it in a Christ-like way. Are you being a helpful friend, or are you a harmful friend? Tonight, ask yourself those questions. The handy friend, the holding friend, those are all nice. But how do we deal with our friends? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight, and thank you for your word. Lord, I know the book of Proverbs, it just gives us understanding where sometimes we miss it. We think we know who our true friends are. We think we know those that are really helping us. But you tell us, make no friendship with an angry man. And we got to say, well, am I making a friendship with an angry man? Am I allowing that? Am I joining up with someone that's furious? And we know that that's a work of the flesh. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Lord, we see what it looks like to be helpful. We feel like we're being helpful when we ignore things. But Lord, that's not what you say. The Bible talks about how the wounds of faith are the wounds of a friend. And Lord, I pray if there's something you want me to do, is there something that you want me to help with? Lord, that you would speak to my heart. And Lord, that I would be spiritually minded. Because the Bible talks about when you go to a brother that's overtaken a fault, ye that are spiritual. It's not an easy thing, but help us not to shy away from what it looks like to be a true friend. Lord, help us to be able to be that person that gives hearty counsel. So often I know people go looking for counsel from other people and they really don't have much to say. They will talk around and they'll say spiritual things or quote some type of verse, but never be able to apply it. But Lord, help us to have that counsel that comes from the heart, that is driven by spiritual things. And that we will have something that is helpful and hearty for someone. And if we don't, we will pray for it, or we'll seek and we'll search and we'll try to sharpen them. And we'll be honest and say, I don't want to tell you something wrong. Lord, also help us to be someone that sharpens one another. That helpful countenance. Lord, help us to be able to just sit down and enjoy one another's conversations, talking about what we learned from the Word of God today, and grow closer to you, and consequentially grow closer to one another. Lord, help us not to be the harmful friend. Lord, I know there are some of us that struggles with this. I know there are some times, Lord, in my life that I would like to be quick to become angry. And Lord, I pray that you continue to help me to have the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. And Lord, that I won't be someone who just goes around praising others to make them feel good, because that's going to become a curse to them. You're never going to truly be able to handle the truth when everybody else is saying, oh, what you're doing is great and wonderful. Lord, if anything, help us to consider who we're allowing to influence us in our lives. Lord, help us continue to be friendly with people. Help us to continually be an encouragement to others. Help us to reach out. But Lord, when it comes to those that are influencing us, help us to find people whose desire for us is to become more like Christ. That will maybe won't be the funnest to be around, but it will be someone who will help us in our walk. Someone who will help us to become more like you. Someone that we can learn from and grow from. It is always great to be in company that is fun and enjoyable and all those other things. But Lord, help us also desire to be more like you. Lord, we love you. We miss some of these things so much. But Lord, it talks about the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That is you. And Lord, we understand that you reprove us and you rebuke us. And Lord, that you use other people sometimes. You use circumstances sometimes. Sometimes you even use foolish people, because it talks about how the wise man learns more from the fool than the fool ever learns from the wise man. But Lord, that we will have an open heart and open ear to what you're trying to teach us, even about being the right type of friend. And I'm thankful for so many people that are faithful, so many people that are kind, and so many people that are courteous, and so many people that want to help. But Lord, burden our hearts about having a desire to help our friends to be more Christ-like. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.